Adam's helpless. Invited to be on faithlife.com and to have a membership there, and several of you don't yet, and so I want to just encourage you to do that. One of the benefits that you will get is the Logos Bible Study System, a Bible system, and it is an incredibly helpful resource for studying the Bible. Everything from daily readings to in-depth studies, and you get free access to this. And so, what's that spinning wheel doing in the middle of that? This is an introduction to it. Alex, you and Brad, I know, are on Logos. I don't know of others. Is anyone else using Logos software? Okay. Today we're going to show you how to access that, how to get that for free. It's a starter system of it, but it's valuable. I have bought into it a long time ago, and it's very, very helpful.
Yeah, if you're having any Bible studies, if you're interested at all in studying the Bible for yourself, download a copy. Like he said, it's free. It comes with our Faith Life membership, and you can. It gives you maps, pictures, all kinds of stuff that you don't ordinarily get from a printed Bible.
Bible dictionary.
It's useful. Very useful.
Very useful. Very helpful to get you the background that you want. And I don't know the starter set that's here in terms of what's in it, but just the basics that I've always had have been incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And if you carry a Windows tablet like I do, and you have a computer, you have your Bible.
You can use it. Let's see if that plays. I don't know why that spinning wheel's there, but maybe it won't be an issue.
Reading and understanding God's Word has always been central to the Christian walk. And because your church has Faith Life Equip, you now have access to the best tools to help you study. Once you create a free account, you can quickly dig into the Word with your very own version of Logos Bible software. In this video, I'll guide you through the process of creating an account and accessing Logos' powerful Bible study tools available to you through Faith Life Equip. You should have received an email from your church inviting you to join. When you click Join Group, a webpage opens prompting you to sign in, which you can do if you already have an account. If not, you can create a free one in seconds. Provide your name, email address, and a password. You'll use the same username and password with every service included in Faith Life Equip. Select Register to create your account and join your church group in one click. Remember, your church group on faithlife.com is what connects you to everyone at your church and to all of the great content in Faith Life Equip. If you're a member, you have access to Logos Bible software. You can access your copy of Logos in one of three ways. Choose whichever one works best for you. First, you can download the desktop app. Second, you can find the iOS or Android apps on your mobile device's app store. Finally, you can access your content online from anywhere at app.logos.com. If you're already signed in, all your resources will be available immediately. Start by exploring the homepage, where Logos displays helpful training videos, excerpts of your resources, and ready-to-start Bible studies. If you know what you're looking for, expand your library to view all your resources. You can filter or search your library to find what you need quickly. Guides are a great place to get started for new users, as they surface your resources for you and help you get the most out of Logos. Conduct an in-depth word study, run a full passage guide, or let Logos guide you step-by-step through a basic Bible study. As you work your way through the passage, Logos will help you study, connect you to your resources, and gather all your notes together in one place. You also have access to many powerful Bible study tools. Whether you're studying a passage, viewing the interactive atlas, or running a text comparison on specific verses, Logos equips you to deeply study the Bible. You can learn more about using Logos at support.logos.com. Faith Life Equip enhances your spiritual growth by connecting you to powerful Bible study resources. Check your email inbox to connect to Logos today.
We will get you an email again for that link to sign up and to get involved. And one of the things about the internet and computers that people my age need to remember is that you can't break it. You can't get to the end of the internet, and you can't break the internet, and you won't break your computer. So just be free in using it and trying it and hit those buttons and click and experience and experiment, and you'll enjoy what delights of God's Word come to light as you look at different passages and look at what's there. You might even be able to track down where your pastor's getting ideas from. So that could be a fun experience. The other thing I want to mention is our friendship party for, is that the best term for it, Stacy? Is that the term you're using, Valentine's party?
I was just calling it an RCM Valentine's Social.
Valentine's Social. We're going to have a good time. And you have already done centerpieces and really great snack ideas and games and activities. And so just plan to come. It's something that always baffles me in the history of the church wherever I've pastored is that we can provide the greatest events in the world and can be free. And people go, nah, I don't know, nah, maybe not. And the ones who come go, wow, this is great. Why don't we do this more often? So be an early adopter. Would you do that? And say, I'm going, I'm coming, I'm going to set the time aside, I'll be here, be in our basement downstairs, right? And we're going to have a great time together. So I wanted to encourage you for that. God has been answering prayers, and we're thankful for that. One of the prayers that we prayed extensively last week was for Kathleen, who goes by Kathy, that is Donna's daughter, and Donnie, and both are doing much better. In fact, Donnie gets to see his wife for the first time. A week, 2 weeks?
Several weeks. Since the 4th
of January?
January.
Wow. And so she's been moved to a room, and a regular room where that can happen a little better. We're thankful for that. That's a direct answer to prayer. We give God thanks.
Amen.
And we'll keep praying. And pray for Donna while you're at it, just that God would touch her and give her strength.
Thank you, everyone.
Let's sing together as we enter into worship, into prayer, and we'll prepare to pray together. You can remain seated.
What a great
prayer, confessing that we need the Lord. He is our one defense. He is our righteousness. We need him. Clothed in his righteousness, the scripture says, we will be one day. We give God praise for that today, that it's not by our strength or by our might, not through our works, Lord, but by your grace that we are saved and have this standing in Christ Jesus. We're so grateful, Lord, that we don't have to struggle and fight and worry and be worn out, trying to seek you and find you and trying to have favor with you, for you are always close. You teach us to breathe in your spirit and to breathe out our worries, to allow you to refresh and renew our weak and broken selves. We give you praise today for forgiveness that is ours. In these moments, you may need to ask for forgiveness. It may be in your heart that you need to ask God to forgive you for carelessness or for abandoning his pathway of righteousness or for disobedience that is sin, and you need to ask forgiveness. Maybe in these moments you feel isolated or distanced from God, and could you just say, Lord, I need you. I need to be close to you, and I need to sense how close to me you are. Maybe in these moments your heart is troubled and your spirit is downcast, and so you would say, Lord, may I put my trust in you. May I have confidence in Christ, not my own, but my trust in him. We're so grateful, God, that you have done for us what we cannot do for ourselves, in providing for us Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide. We just praise you today for that reality in our lives, and forgive us for wandering, forgive us for looking away, forgive us for abandoning the path. And Lord, we come back and we repent and we turn to you and we say, in all our ways, we want to acknowledge you, live for you. For you are our strength, you're our confidence, you're our defense, you are the righteousness we need. As you're praying that prayer for yourself, would you pray for one other person that in your circle of friends and network of relationships needs the Lord today? Somebody who's spiritually away or spiritually indifferent and whose heart is not what it needs to be. Would you say, Father, be near. Use me to touch that person's life. Use me to be a witness, Lord. Show me what to do. Would you just tell him you'll be willing to do what he shows you to do? Lord, we want you to use our lives as a testimony to speak to others. We want our lives to be a book, a Bible that they read and see Christ in the way we care and love and share. Would you pray for someone who has a need? Maybe a physical need, a financial need, maybe a relationship that's broken and needs fixing, needs healing. Maybe somebody who is distressed and overwhelmed by COVID and its threat, and living in fear, of an unnecessary fear. Could you pray for trust for them? Could you pray for peace for them? Could you pray for God's assurance in their lives? Lord, we thank you that our life is greater than what we see on the news or what we sense in our own emotions and attitudes. Our life is built on Christ the solid rock, who is unchanging and who is always our sustainer. And so we thank you that you sustain our lives, and sometimes we forget, and sometimes we allow life to drag us away from you, and our worry or our cares overcome us. And so, Lord, we thank you for Sundays when we can restore and renew our confidence in you. So in these moments, I just pray that your Spirit would minister to each one of us that which we need. You know better than we do, Lord. And so we put in your hands what you would do, and say, you have every right to do with my life whatever you choose, O Lord. For your ways are better than my ways. Your wisdom is higher than my wisdom. Your strength is greater than my strength. And so I trust you and look to you and put my confidence in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord, for how you speak and for the response of your people. Now guide us in your word as we look together and draw us together as we talk about small groups and the importance of having those in our lives to whom we can confess and with whom we can share life. May it be a vision renewing and a vision casting moment for us to see the blessings and opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a saying that I've read, and maybe you've read it before. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far? Go with someone. If you want to go far, do you want to go to heaven? That's far, right? I think that's far. I don't think we get there. We don't want to go fast, do we?
No.
We're glad it's fast when the time comes. We don't want the time to be now. You want to go fast, go alone. The ones that go fast and go alone burn out, fall by the wayside many times. Alone is lonely, especially when it comes to your faith, especially when it comes to obeying Christ and following him. But if you want to go far, draw about you a circle. Get a circle where you can share, care, pray, love, and be together. I started out this, if you remember, my messages here in January, talking about gently used. And gently used was what we said we would, how we would sell our exercise equipment that we've never really used. That, you know, is the great elaborate piece of equipment on which you hang your clothes or stack your books or unused stuff that just gathers dust in your home. And really what the conclusion of that is that we realize that in believing we should exercise doesn't mean we will exercise. Thinking it's a good idea to eat right doesn't mean we're going to eat right. It takes an effort. It takes doing. It takes sharing with someone to get you to help you. And we talked about how having a partner is always a better way to do what you know you believe you should do, what you know you need to do. Exercise. We exercise better when we know someone's waiting on us to go. And if we just wait to get the energy or get the attitude right to go without a friend, we are going to find ourselves not going and we're going to not follow through. Well, it's the same with the spiritual disciplines. It's the same with growing in Christ. We're going to grow, we're going to go when we have someone to go with us. Someone we know is counting on us. I have a very close friend, I've talked to you about him before, that we don't talk to each other very often, but when we do, he always asks me the question, how are you spiritually? And that's a question I can't give a lie to. That's a question where I can't fudge and fake and dodge. Having a partner is what keeps us on track. Even when we have a bad attitude, if we have a partner, we're more likely to do what's right, aren't we? We're more likely to follow through. We're more likely to stick with it. And so we need these one another's in our life. If you look at that, every one of them implies that we have someone else. To forgive, we need one another. To accept, to care, to encourage, to submit, to restore, to carry one another's burdens and bear with one another. Actually, in the way Paul says it, it's more correct to say, forgive one another, accept one another, care for one another, encourage one another, submit to one another, restore one another, carry one another's burdens, and bear with one another. Our faith is a one another faith. And unless it is, we're going to fade out and eventually fall out because we're on our own. You've all seen them, and so have I, those videos of the lions and how they go after a herd of some animal that's their prey. Which one do they get? The one that runs alone, not the one that runs in the group, not often at least. So where have we been so far? What have I been saying? Well, one of the things I've been saying is that belief is not enough. And we all believe. We all say we're believers, and we all say we believe in Christ, and that's good. But that's not enough by itself, because from belief we have to get into not just believing ourselves, but believing with others, being together, and sharing the journey, and talking and walking in faith. And commitment's not enough. We talk about resolutions. What's a resolution? That's just another word for a commitment. We make New Year's resolutions, and we manage to keep them until January 4th. And then we kind of fade out, don't we? And so life is much better when we live connected. Life works better when you open up and share what's going on. When you get close enough to someone that there is an investment in each other that we're going to help each other through. We see this in the ships that go down, and you see the stories, and I know they're made up in terms of the details, and I know that they're done on a stage in a movie theater, in a movie setting, I should say. But those who hang together in that lifeboat do much better at surviving than the ones that go alone. You would agree. At least every movie I've seen, that's the way it is. And I know it's also true in life. So we need strong commitments, because life is better when we're connected, when we have someone we're connected to, and we meet with them, we talk with them, and we share life with them. And what amazes me, and I don't know why I'm still surprised, but when I pick up the phone and make the effort to get connected with people, 99 times out of 100, they're so thankful, so appreciative. Even some of them would say, you know, you're the only one, or I don't have others that ask me, or I'm not being followed up in that way. And so don't be afraid, and don't be timid, and don't be shy. Now, don't call me. That's what I wanted to say. Because I have my tree has all the branches it can handle. But seriously, if you do, we'll find a way together. Because we need the connection. You need the connection. I need the connection. And your connection with me when we talk and when I meet with you and we meet outside of church means so much to me. And it gives so much vitality and life to me. I go home and just share with my wife in joy and excitement the people that I get to be with. And when I don't, and I know through COVID when we've been shut down and we've been isolated and we wear these masks, and the biggest problem I have with the mask, well, the second biggest problem I have is not understanding what you're saying. The first one is I can't really read your expression. I just see, when I see the eyes go up, then I know they're smiling. And that's what I look for. Strong commitments come from strong connections. When you make a strong connection with someone, you will keep your commitments. When you make them just with yourself and the Lord, it's a lot tougher to keep them. We need people that through each week would say, how's it going? How are you doing? What happened? I really want to share with you some stories from this past week, because I had just an incredible encounter and just some beautiful things that were said, and I hope to tell you some of that. The next week I talked about we want to be known for something. We all have something we want to be known for. Sometimes, you know, when you say, you know so-and-so, and they'll say, oh, he's the builder. Or you know so-and-so, and say, oh, he's the collector. He collects these things. Or, yeah, I know him. I worked with him. Or we want to be known for something. But what we really need is to be known by someone. Because remember I talked about the fact that if we are known for something, we begin to fake it. We begin to cover. We begin to be just that thing. athletic, attractive, hard worker, builder, homemaker, mother, father, those adjectives that we use. And if we don't measure up and if we don't follow through like we think we should, what do? We fake it. And what we're needing desperately is to be known by someone. Someone who sits across from the table from us and says, how's it really going? Because they care, because we know they won't go tell everybody, because they love us, not because they want to hear gossip. We open up. And tell them the truth. I have a regular monthly appointment with a friend. And I was with him this week and learning some things I didn't know about. It was quite fascinating, actually. And he walks and he power walks. And he said, I pray for you when I power walk. And I was just shocked. He said, yeah. He said, I have a whole list. And he said, I pray. And it's an hour that he walks. And he said, I can tell you exactly where I pray for you every time I walk. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'm going downhill. Now, when he said that, I almost said, you know, you see me going downhill, huh? I didn't say it. I kept my mouth shut. He said, and when I get to the bottom, there's a mailbox. And he said, that's when I switch and start praying for the next thing. I said, wow. I had no idea. That's impressive, isn't it? Who do you pray for? How do you follow up? How consistently are you in praying for them? Because a partner helps us to be faithful. You see, because he told me that, I'm going to be just a little bit better. I'm going to be more what I long to be. And I'm going to respond and answer his questions. And be accountable. Because I know he cares. So who is pouring into your life? Who is pouring into you the truth you need to hear? Who's praying for you? Who's holding you up? Who's reminding you of what you are committed to? And who is strengthening you to keep those commitments? You see, we'd rather have a veneer that they see, a smile or an attitude or a thing that we are to them, when really what we need is to be known by them. And that's what Christ calls us to. Have someone pouring into your life, but then you need to be pouring into someone else's life. There's people who you could call that would just be so glad you cared. You say, yeah, I noticed you were down. I noticed you were struggling, or I heard something. Is this true? How's it going? How are you doing? I care. Who are you pouring into? You say, well, I don't have much to pour in. Well, just start. Just start trying. We were talking about it this morning in small group. I was telling a story about the man going across the desert in the west, headed out west. This is century or more ago. And thirsting, dying of thirst in the desert. And comes upon a well. And on the well, there's a little bottle tied with water in it. And the note says, don't drink the water. Pour the water down the well to prime the pump. Some of us are old enough to remember pumps you had to prime. I've primed a few pumps in my life. And you pour the water down the well and you prime the pump, you'll get all the water you want, it says. And before you leave, refill the bottle for the next traveler. Well, prime the pump. Put in, invest, say, I want to get close. I want to share some things with you, and I want you to help me. And I'd just like to for us to go together on this journey. It gets lonely if you don't do that. It gets lonely. A computer, Netflix, a club you join, doesn't last long. What it does doesn't really sustain. When you get close enough to share who you are, to share what's going on in your heart, you will find that it helps you pour into their lives. We do that here at church for free. Isn't that great to know? Anybody get charged to come to Sunday school this morning? Anybody get charged for the heating and lighting and beautiful screens? Wonderful music? Sound? Ushers? Glad for the ushers, aren't you? They take the money. That's what I like about them. That's a joke, folks. Come on, loosen up. See, we believe around here that circles are better than rows. No, we need to be in rows. The Bible calls us to meet and assemble, and that has to take a row format. But circles are greater than rows. And those of you that are mathematically inclined or symbolically inclined might be able to remember that. That what happens in a circle cannot happen in the rows. See, you can't turn to the person in your row and be honest and be open and confidential and talk to them about what really happened this week or how your heart is breaking or how where your hopes are, how your hopes are disappointed or what you're wanting to see happen. We just can't do that. I mean, number one, we don't have the time for everyone to speak. Number two, the person next to you, you may not know that well. It may take some while to get to know in the circle and get to have confidence in the circle and have trust. And then you begin to open up and you begin to share. And the thing about the circle is, it should be the same group. It should be confidential. What is said there should not be repeated outside of there. And so over time and in a way, what can happen in the circle is greater than what will happen in rows. Now let me help you with that a little bit in the New Testament, because most of the churches, when Paul is writing to the churches, he's not writing to a building, he's not writing to a place, he's writing to a people who needed a home. So how many of the 40 people here this morning can you get into your living room? It wouldn't be a circle, and it wouldn't even be a row, it would be. I won't describe it any further, but it would be tight. Face to face and shoulder to shoulder. That's where we grow. Face to face, shoulder to shoulder. Getting into the circles. Getting into the close proximity. It's a wonderful thing to have Sunday school. It's a wonderful thing to have Sunday school here in the building, and I understand that. But there are some limits to the building, meaning that people come through, people come in and out, some will come and some don't come, and you don't have a consistency. When you set up a group, you set up a group for a semester. We think about January to June, let's say, and just say it's going to be that long, or the one I'm teaching now is 6 weeks, and then we'll decide what we do. If we like it, we can maybe meet at a different time. We can continue at the same time. People can drop out without any guilt or any condemnation or any follow-up that makes them feel that. And so the group is designed to see if it works for you, to see if that's the people you want to be with, and just for a period of time, so that there's freedom. And we will find over time that that works really well. Without it, we drift away. Without this kind of honesty, without this kind of openness, without this kind of closeness in a group, we begin to drift. Begins to be a negative impact in our life that takes us away. And drift begins within, because we can hide it there. And you can come in and out Sunday mornings, in and out, in and out, in and out, and not be yourself with anyone, not share life really with anyone. And what will happen is you'll begin to drift. And your drift is never towards God. Drifting's always away from God. Drifting is never towards deeper faith. Drifting is always away from faith. Because you aren't plugged in, you aren't in a small group, you aren't in a circle. You see, in rows, no one knows that you drift, because in rows, drift doesn't show. You can sit there and look right and be dressed right and sing the songs and fit in, but in your heart, you can be far from God. And that's scary. As a pastor, that's deeply concerning. That we don't just come in and out, sit there looking right and fitting in for the moment, but not really being known or not really being open, face to face, shoulder to shoulder. Well, we ought to look at Scripture, don't you think? God gave us His Word, so we'd read it. Turn towards the end of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews comes after Titus and Philemon. We're going to look at chapter 3. If you have an electronic device, you get there faster, if you know how to use it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. Let's stand. You've been seated for a while. I'll give you a chance just to exercise those legs a bit. 3:7, okay? Hebrews 3, verse 7. The Holy Spirit says, "Listen to His voice today. If you hear it, don't be stubborn. You were stubborn when you opposed me. You did that when you were tested in the desert. There, your people of long ago tested me, yet for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with them. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. So when I was angry, I made a promise. I said, they will never enjoy the rest I planned for them." Brothers and sisters, make sure that none of you has a sinful heart. Do not let an unbelieving heart turn you away from the living God. But build one another up every day. Do it as long as there is still time. Then none of you will become stubborn. You won't be fooled by sin's tricks. We belong to Christ if we hold tightly to the faith we had at first. But we must hold tightly until the end. It has just been said, "Listen to His voice today. If you hear it, don't be stubborn. You were stubborn when you opposed me." Father, just guide us in this word as we look at it today. I pray that it would be good news to our hearts and lives, hopeful news, challenging news, and transforming in its power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you may be seated. The writer of the Hebrews, we don't know who it is. Some have even suggested it might have been a woman, and so it was disguised because a woman's writing would not have been recognized back in that day. But it's not Paul. That's almost certain. And it's a letter written to new believers in Christ who had been Jewish, who had a Hebrew background. It's telling them how to live in Christ without the Old Testament restrictions and laws that Christ had done away with. And so it's written to that kind of an audience of believers within the churches throughout the Middle East, the Mediterranean. And so make sure that none of you has a sinful heart. That's what he's calling for here in us. And he's telling us that that sinful heart is an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And the sinful heart is the heart that we hide from others. It's the mask that we try to wear, or the way we try to fix it ourselves. I've shared with you enough times that you know that I'm not a home repair kind of person, but that doesn't stop me. I still try. And, I'm like the guy I read about. He said, after 3 tries, I call in the plumber, and let him charge me 3 times the regular price because he's got to fix what I already messed up. And so doing it yourself is not the way to go, and that's not the way to go spiritually. Get help. Get others around you. Listen to them. Talk to them. Now, don't be scared by that. Don't be put off by that. It's not that like you're going to get together the first evening and just, bare your soul and everything that you've ever wanted to hide. No. It's a matter of hearing each other's journey and realizing, they're doing the same things I'm doing. They're in the same place I am. We've got a lot in common, and we together can be stronger. It's leaving with more encouragement because they've shared something in the group that you identified with, and it gives you hope. Number two, there's just a lot of love that naturally happens in a healthy circle. Notice I said healthy, okay? In a healthy circle, a lot of love and a lot of faith gets stimulated and comes about. And as a result, you leave there feeling, yeah, I can do this. I can live this. It's okay. maybe feeling like, you know, I'm not the only one that struggles. I'm not the only one that has this particular need or issue in my life, because you talk to each other, because you walk together in that time. Hebrews 10:24 says, spur one another on. And we talked about that word a little bit last week, and spurring is to really get in their face or really get into the issue they need to deal with and encourage them. I talked to you about this friend that I sit across from, and this friend asks those questions and wants to know the areas in my life that I need to be accountable for with him. And it does it in a gentle, loving way, and that's always encouraging. You can have that kind of a relationship. You can have that kind of a circle. He says, build one another up. This building each other up, and actually one of the phrases is encourage, meaning give them your courage. Isn't that a great way to look at it? And what happens is this. You share a struggle, and someone else says, well, I've had that struggle, and here's how I handled it. Or I still struggle with that, and God is helping me. Let's pray for each other. What's that doing? That's giving you their courage so you can face your struggles with courage. Build one another up, encourage one another, and he says, every day, so you will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, so that you will not be deceived by sin. And what happens is when we don't share, we harden our hearts, we protect our hearts, we withdraw from close fellowship and close communion, and as a result, we get further and further away. We drift, as I said, in rows, because no one knows what's going on in your heart when you're just in rows. You need the circle. We belong to Christ if we hold firmly to the faith we had at first, but we must hold on to it to the end. Remember I talked about if you want to go fast, go alone? And I said they go fast, but they don't go far. I said if you want to go far, and here's where Paul, or the writer to Hebrews, says we want to make it to the end. We need each other to make it to the end. That's always been true. It's been true from when Jesus picked the disciples till today. It's been true from when God created Eve in order to make Adam complete. And since then, with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, he's always been forming a people to be together. Notice also it says, we belong to Christ if we hold firmly to the faith. It's not I belong to Christ if I hold firmly to the faith. It's we. I need the we in order to make it. I need the us, the togetherness, the one anotherness. We must hold on to it to the end. Check the drift. To keep the faith, little things can take you astray. The little things you hang on to, the little things you don't talk about, the little things you have niggling away in your mind, is a word my mother would use, bothering you, just kind of always there as an issue that you can't just talk about and can't get through because you're holding on to it. You can deceive you. And we're really good at deceiving ourselves. We're really good at talking ourselves into things we want. Anybody ever bought something on a payment plan that they regretted buying? Have you ever looked at someone who's talking to you about their love relationship and they're all excited about it and they're saying, I'm going to marry this person, I'm in love with this person, and you're just going, oh, what a mistake. Oh, please don't. Please don't. Well, we need people close enough to us to tell us. We need people close enough to us to know us. So when they speak, it's not just out of the blue, it's not just a comment in passing, it's someone that carries us and prays for us and believes in us and understands us and could say to us, you know, wait, try it out, you've got time. Andy Stanley says, he tells couples, you always have time, don't get in a hurry, wait. a lot of places I want to go. I better just stop.
No meddling.
No fishing around where God isn't fishing, right? How about you see your friends making decisions with their kids or not making decisions they need to be making? Their dating lifestyles or their habits. You see a married friend drifting in their relationship away from their spouse into other areas they shouldn't be going. Who's close enough to tell them? Who has their back, as we talk about? Who's defending them? Who's walking with them so they can tell them where they're going out of line? Isn't it funny? We can see that clearly in others, can't we? You know, and as soon as I said someone's in a relationship and they shouldn't go any further and you know that, I bet every one of you had a face flash in your minds. But why can't we see it for ourselves? Because we talk ourselves into what we really want. And someone needs to be close enough to say. A number of years ago, we as a church weren't doing financially as strong as we needed to be, and we were getting copiers donated to us from when they'd already been thoroughly worn out, and I think companies could get a tax write-off for giving it away, and they were working, but they weren't working. And I was fed up. And I was in Staples. They had a really nice printer. And I knew the money wasn't in the bank. You remember this story?
I do.
So it's like an evening, I don't know, Friday evening or something. I call Alex and I said, Alex, the first words out of my mouth were, talk me off the cliff. Back me off the cliff. He said, what's going on? I said, well, I said, I'm standing here looking at this printer and it'd just be great for the church. And we don't have the money. He said, back up, Pastor, back up. Don't get it. We didn't get it. You know, we've done better financially since then, and we bought less expensive printers, and they work just fine. Why can't we see clearly in our own lives? Who do we have? We can pass an idea in front of them and say, what do you think? How do you evaluate this? Is this, am I out of line here? I did that last week with Flynn and Alex. I said, this is something I'm thinking we should do. Help me. Because I've got these other feelings that kind of go against it. And boy, in about three questions, I mean, boom, 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 Alex just, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Cleared it right out. We need those kinds of connections, those kinds of closeness to each other. You notice that it says we, us, God speaking to the group, the circle, the ones that we are close to, the ones we stay with. I want to say it just as clearly as I know how. Life is richer and life is safer and the blessings abound when we share it with others. You know, it's even fun to laugh at your mistakes in a circle. To tell your stories of failures or flops and everyone laughs. I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about, you know, when things didn't go like you wanted them to go. And all of a sudden you discover everyone in the circle has the same kind of story. We're just all on the same path, aren't we? But we need to admit it. We need to look at it. We need to walk together. You need to be in a small group. You need to be in a group that meets regularly. You need to be in a group where there's trust and where there can be openness and sharing of real issues in life. You'll go further when you go with friends. You'll go further in your growth spiritually. You'll go further in your maturity. You'll go further in the blessings of God. You'll go deeper into the truth when you're in a healthy circle that really cares and really opens up to one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a church full of good people. People who love you, Lord. People who give their lives to you. People who worship with their whole hearts. And Father, there may be a few here who aren't actively involved in a small group. Help them to see the need in their own lives. Help them to realize there could really be some blessing and some hope and strength that would come. Father, some are carrying burdens today that are so huge. Because they carry that burden alone, it is overwhelming. Lord, I just pray that some could come alongside and help lift the burden with them. Help encourage them. Lord, help them to decide they're going to form a group or be a part of an existing group or seek out a way to form their own group, and that they would begin to let go of the something they want to be and get close to those someones they really need. Thank you for the example of the disciples and Jesus and the examples of the early church and all the examples of the Old Testament, Lord. May we be mindful of how important it is that we go together. Lord, in these moments, some just need you to slip so close to them and lift them, Lord. Lift the despair or the depression or the anger or the disappointment that they are struggling with. May they see you as their Redeemer, their Savior in this moment. May they decide they're going to be part of an us goes together. Thank you for hearing our prayers, for knowing our hearts, and for providing a full, complete salvation for us. We rejoice in that today. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And Usher's going to receive the tithes and offerings.
Praising my Savior.
Always new. His blessings are new and fresh every day. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and present you before him with great grace, be dominion, majesty, and power. Through all that you do and wherever you go this week, know the presence of Christ with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Oh, weeks better than